and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, how are you doing this week?
I'm back!
Yeah, it works.
Does it work?
Yeah, that works for you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's yours now.
That's it. I got it.
You owned it.
I'm going to put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah!
Yeah.
And do it in the font of the Three's Company logo.
Well, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, for sure.
Here we go. Season 5, Episode 6, Room at the Bottom. It aired December 9, 1980, directed by Dave Powers, written by Martin Rips and Joseph Storetsky. Jack is embarrassed to tell his friends that he's working as a busboy in a high-end French restaurant. Cameron, what did you think of Room at the Bottom?
Wow. Okay, I got to say, last week you told me to go into start watching these episodes and approach them not with high expectation, but with medium expectation. And it worked like a charm.
It really did.
I mean, I thought it was a great episode. I thought it was a strong episode. I thought it was a surprising episode. There were so many different things that happened that I wasn't expecting to happen. The ending was a twist for me. I didn't see that coming. I was entertained. I was horrified at some of the acting, but I mean, you know, that wasn't.
Hey.
Yeah.
Whatever, right?
But yeah, well, I'm speaking more specifically, and I'm jumping ahead here. But the woman that Larry brings to Lucienne, the high-end French restaurant, that is originally meant to be Jack's date that evening.
Jennifer.
I think so. What was her name? Bonnie Chamberlain in the episode.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Bonnie was her name. Yes.
Yes. When they come into the restaurant and they ask for a table because, you know, they know the chef and the maitre d' is like, oh yes, Chef Jacques, right? The woman, when they walk in, Bonnie Chamberlain, or I guess whoever plays her, Jennifer, I don't think I've ever in my life witnessed such awful acting.
Well, funny you should say that. That was one of the only 4 acting credits Jennifer Gay, the actress, ever did. So she was in a Simon and Simon TV show episode and then a couple of TV movies. And then, poof, she disappeared.
Yeah, not surprised. She walked in and she goes, wow, this is such a fancy restaurant. It was pretty rough. But I will say that there was, for the first time, I thought, and, you know, in the episodes I've seen, and maybe, you know, you can speak to some another time this has happened prior to this and potentially after, but I felt really sad for Jack at the end there. And I feel like, you know, the writers were trying to, like, make it a teachable moment for the audience and for people watching, right? Where, you know what, Jack, it's okay to not, you know, be successful and right away. And it's okay to be honest with your friends. It was just such a weird tone that came out of nowhere that you never get. I have never experienced in this series before, where it's always just like, how can we end this with as many, you know,
oh yeah,
laughs and or cheap laughs as possible, right? We'll just like hammer it home. And they got a little bit of that, you know, when they all made Jack food and he couldn't eat it, but there was still like this, you know, where his friends, I guess, essentially sort of were there to support him in a time where he felt embarrassed, where he was like not himself, not in his element, where he's always sort of like, even if Jack isn't in, you know, the catbird seat, he's always just like in it, can talk his way out of something or into something. But here he's just had his tail between his legs and there was nothing he could do. And it's just like, oh, how's he going to make this hilarious? And he didn't. It was just the friends were like, it's okay, dude. And it was so weird. I don't know if like that this is something else that I've missed before, but
no, but
I was, like, so surprised.
I also think that maybe it was a reflection of the writers, their own insecurities reflected into the characters, because here they were now writing on a hit show without one of the main characters. Okay. And they're being a little reflective, self-reflective through the eyes of Jack and Janet, Furley and Larry. And yeah, maybe it's a reflection of how they feel. Like they're about to step into some uncharted territory writing wise. The show itself is going to go on without Chrissy. So it was time for a somber moment.
I mean, dare I say, you know, those two words that, at least in my experience, have eluded this show, character development.
No, that doesn't happen. How, I mean, you have to develop and continue the development. The development that you start must hold up.
So this is a one-off, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's no development. Like, Jack doesn't get more mature. If anything, it's a first foray into the real working world. Like, we saw Jack at a diner. Okay, we now see Jack as a busboy. He's working his way up.
He can't hold a job. He's at the diner. He's in the mechanical man in a window. Now he can't even cut it as a busboy. Yeah, he's growing up.
Yeah, right? It's kind of like that. Yeah, but it's hard to see this because it doesn't continue from episode to episode. He doesn't have the same, like, he has a different job every episode. It suddenly becomes part of his character. But yeah. I don't want to blow it for you.
Uh-oh.
Things change very quickly.
Wow.
In the next few episodes. So in about two or three episodes, Jack does find his footing. But I can't disclose any further. But yes, when you know that that episode's coming and you look back on these episodes and you go, oh yeah, this is much like all of us trying to find our way till, you know, our career or our job starts, the job mm-hmm. that we have, we go through life, you know, trying to find ourselves. And so Jack is doing the same thing, mechanical man, working at a diner.
Yeah.
And now as a busboy, he's in his line of work. Like, he is in a high-end French restaurant. He's just starting at the bottom. And it's okay. One of the lessons, I guess, they're trying to tell the audience, it's okay to start at the bottom. There's dignity in every job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Like, it was just odd that, you know, that seemed like there were, you know, lessons they were trying to bestow upon their characters. And then I guess their audience by proxy. Circling back to the French restaurant and just something I found curious, and I don't know if it was just a device to sort of move the story along, but it was interesting to me that Lucien had two different menus, one with and one without prices. And when Furley had the menu without prices, the waiter came by and says, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you have the wrong menu. This is yours. And they swapped it, suggesting that, you know, the men would only get the one with the prices and the women don't have the prices. It seemed weird. I don't know if that was, like, more than just a device to sort of have a moment where Furley recognizes where there's no way I'm going to buy anything in this place.
Well, first of all, we're talking 1980. So, you know, roles, men and women's roles in 1980, most would assume the man is going to pay for it. I am assuming that most would assume back in 1980. Another thing is, and this is something I wanted to touch on, was what's weird is that Furley... It's weirdly assumed that Furley can date people as young as Janet Wood.
Right.
And nobody finds it creepy. But it's super creepy that everyone on the show and in the restaurant assume that Janet and Mr. Furley are out on a date. So that's kind of weird. So if that is the case, then... you know, Furley being a way older man would have the disposable income to pay for the meal.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even I sort of I mean, I guess I noticed it, but I didn't sort of think much of it because it's just so ingrained and assumed, right?
Yeah, it is. It's so weird, though, when you look, take a step back and go like, well, Furley was probably almost double, you know, Janet's age. Why in any situation on the show would any one of the characters think that Janet and Furley are out on a date?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. And then, of course, I mean, the sort of elephant in the room, for the first time in I can't remember how many episodes, Chrissy makes a reappearance.
Yes, she does. Her first telephone appearance, and not her last, but it is, you know, the last. Yeah, it is. It's the last season we see Chrissy.
So, but it seems to me that there's still, like, there's still a connection. Like, they're still trying to keep her in the show. Like, they could easily just continue this she's out of town bit. But I don't know if I mean, I guess there's obviously more going on off screen, but.
Yeah, there's a lot going on off screen. It's been documented. I don't really know the details of it other than she asked for more money. They said no. They asked, I think either she balked or they balked, or and it ended up with her being thrown off the show. Maybe there were some contractual agreements, or they were trying to hammer it out. But
yeah,
obviously, so
it was surprising to see her because just in last week's episode, we had another phone conversation, but she didn't show up. So it was surprising that all of a sudden now she's back. And it was just sort of like, it was just a very sort of nonsensical, like they were talking about what's happened in the episode, but it didn't move any of the storyline forward. It was just like, hey, don't forget about Chrissy. She's still around.
Yeah.
Oops, it was I gotta go. Hang up. And that's it.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. Cause I wasn't privy to
the contract
meetings or arguments or whatever. I don't know. But I do know the gist, which is it all had to do with her asking for equal pay of John Ritter.
Right.
So, yeah, there was a little bit of that.
Oh, did you like this episode?
I like it in hindsight because I see where Jack's character is going. But, I wasn't. I mean, I didn't hate it. I don't put it on my worst of list either. It's just another episode with a few laughs. I liked the episode we talked about last week better than this one.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, But it is the beginning of Jack starting to work in, you know, high-end French restaurants more and more. And they introduce, especially in this episode, you know, some items on a French menu, like coq au vin, which is something, you know, even to this day, when I hear coq au vin said or uttered, I always think of Jack Tripper.
Wow. Well, I mean, and I was laughing out loud at Mr. Furley's expertise with the French language while he was ordering his escargot.
Yeah, classic.
And his soup duger.
I love the soup duger.
Soup duger. It's great.
And you know what's so funny is because we find it funnier because we're Canadian and French is an official language. But in America, think about the Midwest, like, okay, that's how you say it.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't get the joke. So if you look at it through those lenses, it's kind of brave of them to throw a joke in like that. But for us in Canada, it totally lands.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I quite enjoyed the episode. I think maybe because again, watching all these for the first time, I don't know what's coming. All I know is what I've seen, and things are different, and there's a lot of things happening, but there's a lot of the same, and the stuff that they're carrying over is the good stuff, and the stuff that they're introducing isn't necessarily bad. It's just different. And I think, you know, different is better than what has been up until this point. So I don't know. I'm on board with just keeping it status quo. Like, you know, even if Chrissy says goodbye, I think there's a good dynamic here with the four leads that we have left. I mean, I don't know that, I don't know really necessarily that, I don't, is it going to get better or worse if they, I don't know what's happening.
I need you to watch the next episode, because the next episode, Chrissy's cousin joins the cast.
As like a.
She moves in with Jack and Janet.
That, not as a guest star?
No.
Oh my God. What?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just too much. It's just a lot happening.
Yeah. Just when you thought you were gonna get you're getting used to this, the cast changes.
They had some. First, I lose Lana.
Yeah. Well, first the Ropers. Come on.
Well, that's, you know, arguably. I mean, I mistake Mr. Furley over the Ropers any day.
Right.
I think it was a good change, but we lost Lana. Now Chrissy's gone. I don't know. And they keep this up for what, 3-4 more seasons? Boy, oh boy. Okay. Well, listen.
Next week it's Cindy.
I've come this far, but I'm not going to see next week's. Cindy Snow. Oh dear. All right. Well. I mean, I don't know. You've got somebody else watching next week's episode. So when I come back, I mean, it sounds like she's going to be entrenched.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I want you to watch the next episode if you can. Even though it won't be aired.
Okay. Well, that means watching Three's Company in my spare time?
That's what I'm asking, yeah.
Wow, that's a big ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'll put it on the list. How about that?